Good morning. I feel like I really need to come down to about here, because you all seem so very far away. But I think I will stick up here. I'm doing something really dangerous this morning, because I'm using myself as an example. So bear with me. But can I just say before I start in my talk that just because certain things are examples from my life doesn't mean they should be examples in your life. Because we are all different, and God does treat us differently. Just realize I haven't actually put this thing on properly yet. The volume might change here slightly, Linda. Right. So I think this is a really exciting passage, because in a way, it's the end of the beginning, but the beginning is still to come. And in a way, our lives are always like that. We're always at a place where things are ending, but new things are starting until we reach the point where we make an exit from this life into eternity. When one stage in our lives ends, another stage starts. And sometimes those stages are you know, not sequential. They're all happening at the same time. But in this particular case, we find that Jesus is about to leave and go to heaven in his physical sense. But, of course, we know that the Holy Spirit is coming. And I guess if our lives just were the same all the time, well, I know I would just get a bit bored with it. Every new stage has different opportunities. It also has different challenges. It has different disappointments and different excitements in it. So the disciples are about to face some major challenges, because they're not going to have Jesus with them. It's going to be very different, because being disciples without the physical presence of Jesus to guide them, I guess they probably couldn't begin to figure out what that was going to be like. And the things that Jesus tells them, well, I don't think they'd really quite get it. And I'm not too surprised, because I think that we can't really blame them, because it's pretty difficult to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, even though we, the church, have experienced the work of the Holy Spirit for the last 2,000 years. So when they didn't really quite understand what Jesus was telling them, I think they've got a pretty good excuse. He was telling them that the Spirit was going to come and enable them to do things they couldn't do without it. And I don't think they could quite get that. But we know that, of course, that's exactly what happens. We know that the Spirit did come and did make the church into the church. And he does come and he does touch each of us and makes us able to do the things that by ourselves we just couldn't do. If Jane hadn't been empowered and touched by the Holy Spirit to talk to her mum's sister, then it wouldn't have been possible. That's a God thing. Back in 1972, the week or so before Pentecost, I was completely changed. Or the start of a complete change happened as the Holy Spirit very unexpectedly poured himself into me and changed me. Now, I'd been a Christian at that point for 3 years. In fact, this year, somewhere in this month, or maybe just the beginning of July, I can't actually quite remember, it'll be 50 years since I said, yeah, I would like to become a Christian. I was sitting on my sleeping bag in a tent in Scotland, I probably heard a really good message, but I doubt that I remembered much of it, knowing me, and sung a few funny little choruses like we did in the Scripture Union camps. And the guy who was leading my tent of boys said, it's kind of like a throwaway. I suspect he never expected anybody to respond. He said, so would anybody like to become a Christian? And I'm like, sitting there, I think, you know what? I would. So I said, yeah, me. And weirdly, that was it. That was my huge commitment. Me, I'd like to do that. Because I realized something really special. I'd realized that those guys who ran this camp really loved and respected me in a completely different way from anybody else. And I won't go into all the reasons for that, but that's what drew me to Christianity, the way that those guys really respected me in a way that I hadn't really experienced before. They didn't respect me because of the things I could do. They respected me because I was a person. And they just gave me such a sense that I was special, despite knowing that I really wasn't. And I think that's where we find these disciples. You know, they have made some pretty amazing decisions, haven't they? They followed Jesus when really they didn't know what they were doing. They said yes to him without a great deal of knowledge. You know, some of those guys, Jesus said, follow me, and they were like, okay. I mean, it's amazing. And sometimes I think we put a little bit too much store as Christians in people having to know what they're doing when they put their trust in Jesus. Well, I don't think the disciples knew. And to be honest, I don't think I knew what I was doing, really. But I made that commitment and God honored it. And he continued with me over the next few years, just little by little, drawing me forwards, giving me a new set of friends, helping me to stand up for what was right when I wouldn't have done otherwise, and doing things that were completely and utterly out of my abilities and comfort zone, like leading the school Christian Union. When I look back, I'm just amazed that some of these things happened. But all those things, little by little, changed me and prepared me and gave me some lovely Christian friends just the year after I left school who prayed for me and nurtured me and did some great things with me. But the disciples are in that place at the moment here. I don't think we sometimes, you know, we think they've had this incredible experience of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. But actually, you know, there's still an awful lot that they don't know, that they don't get. They had their wobbles, but the thing is, they were still there. On that day when Jesus ascended into heaven, they were there. They were still there. And you know, there's people, sadly, who have been through this church and are not with us anymore, and some of them have even turned their back on the Christian faith. They're not still there. And we've really got to guard ourselves against that. There were disciples that weren't there on that day, weren't there? We need to continue, even though at times we don't get it, we don't fully understand. It's not actually all about fully understanding. It's about putting our faith in the living God. We all have hard times, and the disciples had been through a pretty horrendous time with the death of Jesus. Some of them had made big mistakes during that time, but they had come back. Peter had really messed up. But he was back. He was here. He was with Jesus on this last day. He was at God's disposal. He was ready to serve the Lord and his people. We have our doubts, our fears, just as the disciples did. But we're here. Naturally, that is what matters, to still be standing in a place of faith. So here we are, we find ourselves in the first verses of Acts. The beginning of this book is actually the end of an era, the era of Jesus' physical presence. It's a momentous moment if you think about it. And yet it's written in the simplest possible way. There's no special drama, is there? I want to start by looking at verses 6 and 7. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. In every age, the church asks the same questions. We look out there at what looks like chaos at times. We look at the injustice all around the world. We look at the suffering. We look at the sin. And we ask ourselves, surely this is the time. In every age, the church asks, surely these are the signs that the end is coming. And so far, Jesus has not returned. So far. Who knows? Maybe this time, in this age, he will. We all need to be prepared that he will. However, Jesus' answer is still absolutely as relevant today as it ever has been. And that is, it's not our job to speculate. It's our job to be ready, but not to speculate. Because we'll just be guessing. We will just be giving it our best guess. And you know what? That is a waste of time and energy. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be prepared, but we don't need to speculate. No, it's our role to get on with following where he first led. That's the job. And I think that's really clear. Let's go on to verse 8. Because Jesus then goes on to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So his response is to tell them, when they ask about, is this the time, is to tell them what they've got to do. And that message passes straight on down to us, doesn't it? To be witnesses to the world in the power that God gives us. You know, to them, this must have seemed pretty incomprehensible. When you think about it. See, it's easy for us to look at these verses and see them from our perspective, which is good. But from their perspective, it must have been really difficult to figure out what the heck was going on here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. I don't think it kind of meant a huge amount to them until it actually happened. But maybe that was the important moment. But he had actually alluded to it. And if we read in verse 4 and 5, just above this, We see this in the introduction. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you will have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is the end of the beginning. And the introduction, in a way, to the beginning of the church in Acts. The gift of the Spirit is mentioned twice. So it is clearly really important. Why? Because we cannot act without the empowering that we need. Without the empowering of the Spirit, the church is impotent. It has no power, it has no strength. We have to have God's Holy Spirit at work within us and within us as a body of God's people. Only God living within us has the power to enable us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. We just can't do that in our own strength. It's just not possible. Have you tried talking to people in your own strength? Well, I know I have. Yeah, sorry, Lord. But I have. And it's not very good. You know, I had to really rein myself back because I like a good argument. Do you like a good argument? Some people do, some people don't. And I do. And listen to who's laughing over there, yeah. the trouble is, when you do this in your own strength, you do it for your own reasons because you want to prove that you're right and that you can argue better than they can. And actually, that is not what God is calling us to do because it's really off-putting. I recommend not doing that. So for the last 5 or 6 years that I was the boss in my office, I made a deal with God that I would not do that, that I would not use my Christian faith to put other people down. No, I would not do that. I would try and use it to build people up. I would agree with them whenever I possibly could. I would use the alpha model of reaching out to other people. And you know what? It was a lot better. It's a lot easier for me as well, I have to say. And sometimes we talk to people in our own strength by not talking to them at all when God gives us the opportunity. You know, there's both sides to this, isn't there? So let's be bold, but under God's strength. This talk is entitled A Farewell Story. But actually, in a way, I find it quite hard to see it as farewell. Obviously, this is farewell to the physical presence of Jesus. But actually, the most exciting thing is about to happen. Because Pentecost is coming. Peter's going to be talking about that next week. Pentecost is coming over the horizon. We know that because we know the story. Where a bunch of people, us, the church, are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to serve him and to reach out to the lost. Now, as Jane mentioned, the Thy Kingdom Come stuff that's going on at the moment, and I hope lots of us are actually doing that. I've cheated. I've put more than 5 names on my list. I've put an entire family as one name on my list just by adding their initials together. Yeah, but you know, I think we're okay to cheat a little bit and pray for more people. But let's do be praying. And let's not just stop at the end of this, you know, when Pentecost comes. Let's keep praying for the folks that we know and that we want to see finding salvation in the Lord. The task of praying for our friends only bears fruit, though, when we actually do it, enabled by his power. We are empowered to do something astonishing. I wonder if I could draw the band back. We're just going to think for a moment about this, and then just have a little time of quiet while the band plays, and if you wish to sing with them, that's great. You see, the thing is, in this passage, everything points forwards. Jesus may be leaving them in his physical form, but he'll return in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And then everything will be different. We need, as this song plays, to be asking for the same thing. Thank you. That's what we need. We need God to be falling afresh on each one of us. I don't know if you've noticed, but now I get quite excited before church meetings. Now, lots of people are a bit surprised by this. Colin, it's a church meeting. The reason for this is that church meeting is a place where we are seeking together to understand the mind of God. Now, what's not to be excited about that? That's what we're doing. We're getting together to try and understand where God wants us to go next. That sounds pretty good to me. You know what? The elders' meetings feel like that too. It's great. We want to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. We want to be guided by him. We don't want to make up our own minds. That would be rubbish. That's our purpose. Now, sometimes, obviously, at church meetings, we need to express our own views as well. That's okay, done humbly. There's absolutely nothing wrong with our expressing our views at church meetings. But at the end of the day, when we sit together to make a decision, we need to be seeking God and saying, okay, Lord, inspire us. Help us to understand where this is supposed to be going. Because it's so important that it's not our decision. I don't want it to be my decision. I want it to be God's decision. We need to vote under the influence of God's Spirit. And actually, that's true of every part of our lives. That we act worshipfully, honoring God, and make decisions that are empowered by him. We're not always going to get that right, you know. I certainly do not. For we are all marred by sin and imperfect in our understanding of God and his ways. But that's our quest, to make decisions empowered by him. In a few weeks' time, in the church meeting, the elders were proposed that I should become the church secretary. And as with all decisions, that needs to be done under God's guidance. If you think I'm a really nice person, and you think that I really should not be the church secretary, please do not vote for me to be that. You know, we want to be voting where God takes us. And if you think I'm a really tricky person, and you really wish that I wasn't going to be the church secretary, but feel that God is telling you I should be, well, please follow God's lead. You know, that is so vital. I don't think I want this job, but if I'm called to it and the church thinks I'm called to it, well, then I'm going to do it. But I don't want to be doing it because a bunch of my friends think I'm a really nice person. You'd be wrong. But please, on all the things that we decide within the life of the church, we need to be following where God leads and do these things under his enabling power. And that can be true for everything that we do in the life of the church. It might seem slightly odd. I sometimes think this to myself, why do I do this particular task? You know, when I was crushed underneath that shelf in there, cutting a hole through the wall yesterday, it's like, why is this my job, Lord? Okay, so I own the circular saw, maybe that's it. But, you know, everything we do should be done because God has called us to it. Jesus had a parting gift. He spoke to his disciples about the Spirit coming. And then in verse 9, we see, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And actually, that is kind of the beginning of the story of Acts. Now the real excitement starts. Read on into Acts if you dare. That's how church is. That actually is how church is. The story of Acts. And then let's pray together that the Acts will become more and more our story here in West Kirby. And that we're used by God in West Kirby URC to bring healing and salvation into the lives of others. In the Message version of Matthew 28, we read the Great Commission, and it goes like this. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism, in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you. I will be with you. This is what Jesus said. That's the Holy Spirit. I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. And we haven't got to the end of the age. We're still in it. In the power of the Spirit. That's it. I will be with you, says Jesus. I will be with you with the power, the enabling power of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you that we are part of this mighty worldwide church. Lord, every Sunday, we are in this extraordinary relay race of prayer. As the world turns, each time zone passes on the baton of praise and worship to the next time zone. And we're in the middle of it now. Lord, this worldwide church is empowered by your Spirit, and we ask that you would continue to empower us. Fall upon us again, we pray. And as we take the baton from the past, the baton from the previous time zone, and pass it on to the next generation and across the ocean, Lord, may we pass it on faithfully. We ask, Lord, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to bring the next generation to faith. We pray that you would enable us, Lord, by your Spirit living within us, to tell out the good news into the hearts of those we love, those that we know, those with whom we have influence, and to do it in your name and only through your power. Come, Lord Jesus, use us, we pray, in every aspect of our lives together as your church, so that we may follow where you lead and rejoice in the salvation that you have given us. And that as we rejoice, Lord, we will pass it on to others. Come, Lord Jesus, do your work in our lives, we pray, that we may serve you truly and faithfully. In Jesus' name.